This is the Home Health Revealed podcast. Hear stories from real industry leaders discussing topics affecting the ever-changing industries of home health, hospice, and palliative care.
Oh, just a brief breakdown of the new proposed rule, not final, proposed rule for 2025. And the thing about these proposed rules is I know that it can make a lot of agencies nervous, right? And I will tell you, this stuff is kind of hard to understand, right? I feel like you got to have like a legal background to understand some of the stuff that they put in here. But we're really interested. You and I were talking about this before the podcast. I want to really hear from agencies on, you know, when they read this kind of stuff, what goes through their mind? What are they thinking? So we're going to give away some money for this. So if you listen to the podcast and you would be cool with, you know, emailing Hannah at healthrepartners.com. There we go. I said it a third time. You'll enter yourself for a $250 gift card that we'll give away at the end of August. But really would like some feedback. We just want to hear from agencies on what do they think, what goes through their mind when this kind of stuff comes out. And better yet, how can companies like us help them prepare for something like this? So as we dive in, I hope you guys enjoy it. We look forward to presenting to you the 2025 proposed rule for home health. All right, welcome back to Home Health Revealed, everybody. I'm Mike Greenlee, joined by my co-host, Hannah Vell. Today, we're diving into a recently released calendar year 2025 Home Health Prospective Payment System Proposed Rule. Hannah, this is kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Absolutely. So home health providers are expressing significant concerns about the continued cuts, fearing they're going to undermine their ability to meet care demands for an increasingly complex and aging patient population. So there are worries about potential impacts on access to care and the sustainability of home health services. So this could really reshape home health agencies in 2025. So let's start with the headline figure. What is the overall impact on payments?
Okay, well, it's not great news, as you know. Now, again, this is just proposed, right? It's not final, and, you know, people will fight it, and they'll kind of do all those kinds of things. But, I mean, it's still important to get familiar with it, and, hey, you know, might not even hurt to do some things around it. But, Hannah, it's not great news, right? CMS is proposing a net decrease in Medicare to home health agencies by about 1.7%. Or, if we want to throw some dollars around, it's $280 million compared to 2024. So that's a lot of jack.
Yeah, that's a substantial hit. So can you break down for us how they arrived at that figure?
Well, I mean, I can. Yeah, so sure thing. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, though. All right. So, and this is the way I understand it. You know me, I'm from Ozark, right? Okay, so that's my disclaimer. On one hand, there's a 2.5% home health payment update, which would increase payments by $415 million. But that's offset by two decreases, a 3.6% decrease due to the proposed permanent behavior adjustment, reducing payments by $595 million, and a 0.6% decrease from the proposed fixed dollar loss adjustment, which is cutting another $100 million. So see, these $100 million, you know, I can't even comprehend that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? So it's even hard for me to read this, you know, or study it, because I'm looking at these dollars and I'm like, holy crap, you know, that's a lot of money.
Exactly. So sounds like while there's an increase at the base rate, there are other adjustments that are really wiping it out. So what is behind the behavior adjustment?
You would ask that. Okay. Uh-huh. What's related to the PDGM, you know, the patient-driven grouper model. CMS is proposing a permanent prospective adjustment of negative 4.067% to the 2025 home health. Now, this is to account for the differences between assumed and actual behavior changes following the implementation of PDGM and the shift to a 30-day unit of payment.
In other PDGM-related changes, CMS is also proposing to recalibrate the PDGM case mix weights and update several thresholds and levels, including the low utilization payment adjustments or LUPA thresholds, functional impairment levels, and comorbidity adjustment subgroups. So it sounds like agencies will really need to dig into these details to understand how it affects their specific patient mix. And then what about, Michael, quality reporting?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, Hannah, there's no new quality measures proposed for addition or removal. So however, CMS is proposing to adopt and modify certain patient assessment related items to the health related social needs. So starting in 2027, I can't even think that far in advance, just so you know, agencies would need to collect and report data on things like, you know, situation, food, utilities, things like that.
That's really an interesting shift towards the social determinants of health, right? The living situation, food, utilities, all these things we know go into home health care. But there are also a couple more. So CMS is proposing to adopt new core-based statistical area delineations for the home health wage index based on data from the 2020 decennial census. They're also proposing a new standard requiring agencies to develop and maintain a policy for accepting patients to service. Right now is the time that agencies can act because CMS is seeking feedback on potential new performance measures for the home health value-based purchasing program, including falls with injury, Medicare spending per beneficiary, and functional measures. So these changes are really significant, but let's talk about what you think are the main key takeaways for agencies.
No, I think the key, you know, message, you know, for agencies is, you know, you need to start preparing now, right? I mean, you should already been doing it, but if you haven't been, I mean, now's the time. You know, the decrease is substantial. So agencies should be looking at their operations and finding ways to increase efficiency, looking at productivity, everything like that. The proposed cuts combined with previous reductions could lead to an estimate of about $20 billion of cuts from Medicare home health payments from 2020 to 2029. So potentially resulting, you know, in agencies, you know, of course, closures can happen. And then, of course, there can be service, you know, challenges in areas, right? There's not enough, you know, agencies around to service, you know, our folks. So they should start, you know, really thinking about, you know, how they'll collect and use the data on the social needs. And it's clearly becoming a priority for CMS. And then, of course, budgeting.
Absolutely. Michael, it's surprising to me to learn that less than half of home health agencies actually prepare an annual budget. And that really means just by creating a budget, you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah, so it gets a little bit more interesting, Hannah. All right, you ready for this? All right.
Yep.
Of those agencies that do budget, over 80% of them are only doing it for mainly operational and board requirements. They're not creating industry-specific budgets that can truly help them manage and measure performance.
So they're doing it just to mark it off their box, right? So we're talking about a real opportunity here that by preparing a detailed home health specific budget that agencies can potentially outform up to really 90% of their competitors.
Well, exactly, right? So, you know, but it's not just about having a budget, right? It's about having the right kind of budget. And so many agencies use revenue as a primary driver, but that's not the most effective approach.
Right, because revenue is actually a byproduct of other factors. So what should agencies be focusing on instead, Michael?
Very good question. They should be looking, you know, at the drivers for revenue, of their revenue, right? So for example, you got payroll-related costs typically account for, you know, 60, 65% of an agency's total cost. But even these costs, you know, are results of other factors.
So it's really about digging deeper and understanding what truly drives the costs and the revenues. The key to budgeting for the right things so that when actual results vary from the budget, you can easily identify your why. And that why is so crucial because it's not just about spotting differences, but then understanding the reasons behind what was budgeted versus what was actual.
Absolutely. Good work. I like that. Yeah. Well, agencies need to develop this level of understanding, you know, will have a significant advantage over the agencies that do not. You know, they'll be able to make better management decisions, maintain consistency in the areas of their strength, and make data-driven improvements where it's needed.
And as we move towards 2025, agencies that embrace this approach to budgeting are going to be setting themselves up for success in a really increasingly competitive landscape. I know I hate that. I feel like everybody throws around the word landscape, but as our industry becomes so much more competitive, we're weeding out some of these agencies who are not running efficiently. So I'm glad we have these insights. And to our listeners, we really hope that this discussion has inspired you to take a closer look at your budgeting process and plan ahead for 2025. So remember, a good budget isn't just about numbers. It's about understanding and steering your agency's performance.
You know, and I think it's a great, you know, breakdown. I think, you know, there's some good information in here. I hope agencies appreciate just this quick, you know, podcasts to get this information out. I know there's a lot of stuff going out about it. It can get very confusing, but there's a lot of companies out there that can help. And again, this is just a proposed rule, right? So it's not final. Things can change. But for today, Hannah, that's all we got. I mean, we're going to close this bad boy up. We're going to shut the box. We're close the bag. We're going to get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And I just want to say, you know, as a plug for HealthRev, if you're taking a hard look at your budgeting, you're looking at ways to save, you're looking at cost efficiencies, how can you become a well-oiled machine? We would be happy to talk with you. You can connect with us via email, connect@healthrevpartners.com. You can find us on the web, healthrevpartners.com. We do these things in and out every day. So contact us, use us as a resource.
All right. Appreciate everyone listening. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.